Turn with me then to Luke chapter 1. If you have one of the church Bibles, it's on page 903. So this morning I want us to have a fresh look at the life of Mary. It's a bit of an overview of Mary's life, really, about her character, about her response to the message of the angels. So what is the message that she heard? Well, Ben read it for us at the beginning of the service. Here's this teenage girl from a low social position, unsuspecting, unassuming, going about her daily business, and the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, is sent by God to that region, to that city of Nazareth, to that virgin who is engaged to Joseph at the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel appears to her. And he gives her this amazing message, this life-changing message. What is the first word he says to her? Rejoice. Rejoice. Highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And yet here is Mary. She is so frightened. She's so troubled by what she's seeing, by what she is hearing. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, and you will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom there will be no end." So she gets this message from the angel, and it's a message which is directed to her. It's a personal message. It is a message of something that God will do in her and through her. She hasn't deserved this message. She hasn't earned the right for an angel to come and to give her this message. It is entirely of God's grace and mercy that this angel is sent to this unassuming, unsuspecting young Israelite girl. And this message tells us what God is going to do. Verse 31, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb, and you will bring forth a son." What God is going to do, he's going to give her a son. And the message then tells her what she is to do. What is her part in this? She's going to carry the baby. But apart from that, she's got to name the baby. Jesus. That is what you have to do, Mary. What does the name Jesus mean? Well, we know from Matthew's gospel, it means the Lord saves, the Lord rescues. Tells us what he will be, verse 32. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. And he tells us what role he will have as well. Verse 32, the Lord God will give him the throne. He will be a ruler like David in the Old Testament. A powerful, strong, successful ruler. Verse 33, he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And it's an amazing message coming to her. Didn't go to a princess, didn't go to a queen, it went to a nobody who really had nothing. And you and I hear this Christmas message every year. And we can hear it, and there are many different aspects to it. We can think of Mary, we can think of Joseph, we can think of the kings, and we did that last week. We can think of the angels and the shepherds. There are many different facets to the Christmas message, and it's so important that we remind ourselves of what God has done in this world to hear the message. But what is even more important than hearing the message is how we respond to that message. What do we do with that message? How does that message affect us? How does it change our lives? And whether we realize it or not, how we respond to the message of Christmas and the message of Christ reveals our heart's attitude to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people respond enthusiastically and embrace the message of Christ in Christmas. Some people hear it but take it with a cynicism or a skepticism. Or they despise the message of Christ. Some people are kind of in the middle and they don't really know what they think of the message of Christ and of this virgin and of this child that would be born. And Mary responds to this message, and that's what I wanted to look at today. She responds in three ways to this message. Three ways. But I wonder, what will your response be to the message of the angels this morning? So I have three headings, and I'm going to try and make it easy for us. So the first one is this. She responded thoughtfully. She responded thoughtfully. For the younger ones, I'm going to give you one word. And it's how. For the younger ones, it's how. For the older ones or the rest of us, it's this. She responded thoughtfully. Because verse 34, Mary says to the angel, how can this be? How can this be? In a polite way, she's saying, well, how is this going to work? How is this going to work its way out? So the angel gives Mary this message from God and reminds us that the Christmas message is from God. It's his message for this world that he's created. It's his message for us. This message that comes through to Mary. So what do you think of the Christmas message? What do you think in your heart about this Christ, this light, this Saviour Jesus? I wonder what you really think. Well, maybe you're one of those in the sceptical camp. Maybe you're thinking, well, I don't really know what I think of this Jesus. Maybe I don't really know what I think of this message. I think some people think that if you're religious, you just accept anything. You just believe it. You don't question things. I don't think that's true, is it? And I don't think that's what Mary does here. What is the first thing that Mary is recorded of saying? It's this. How can this be, since I do not know a man? She didn't just blindly accept what the angel said. She wanted to know more. She wanted to try and understand. She had questions. Look at verse 29. But when she saw the angel, she was troubled at the saying, and she considered what manner of greeting this was. That's a really important word, that considered. Because it's a word that comes from the world of accounting and mathematics. I work at Rolls-Royce. I work with a number of accountants. I'm not an accountant. Don't know if we've got any accountants here this morning. But at Rolls-Royce, we call them bean counters. Because that's what they do. They're adding up. They're looking at cash flows. They're looking at margins. They're looking at balance sheets. It's in the world of accounting. And that's the word that's used here. She considered what manner of greeting this is. It's talking about the mind. It's talking about reasoning through, about adding up. It's a rationalizing of what is being said here. She's saying, well, what is going on? Can I understand this? She's asking questions. In her mind, she responded thoughtfully to the message of the angel. I think somehow, sometimes we can think about people 2,000 years ago and think they were completely gullible and that they didn't question anything. But the IQ of a human being hasn't changed over the last 2,000 years. People have the same intellect today as they had in the days when Mary was on earth. And naturally we're inquisitive, naturally we ask questions. And I think maybe we'd respond in the same way as Mary did. The problem is today we're trained to not think in terms of, can God work supernaturally? We're trained not to believe in the supernatural. Mary was trained not to believe that God could become man. God is God. He's the infinite, almighty creator. I am a young lady, she's thinking. And people are people. How can this be? That I would have this son, that this one that would be the son of the highest. And she's reasoning, she's questioning, she's thinking all of this through. The message that God would come down and be born of a virgin, be clothed in human skin, wasn't something that she'd ever heard before. And yet she responded thoughtfully, how can this be? This was a barrier to her. This was something in the way, as it were. She had to reason out and to think. And I wonder this morning, do you have barriers to the message of Christmas? Do you have questions about the Lord Jesus Christ? And how does this work? What is God doing here? Why is God doing this? How does this apply to me? Well, for Mary, she looked at the evidence. She asked this question, how can this be, since I do not know a man? Yet through a combination of evidence and a combination of experience, she comes to believe the message of the angel. It's interesting, for those of you who are familiar with Luke, this isn't the first visitation of an angel in the Christmas story. An angel comes to Zacharias first, the father of John the Baptist. And the angel says that your wife, who is barren, who is old, is going to have a child. After all these years, she is going to have a child. Verse 18. Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. How does Zacharias respond? Does he respond with wonder? Does he respond in faith? Does he respond with a mind that is open to God and the possibilities? Does he respond with a seeking more information, questioning, but with a heart and a mind that are showing that he's open? I don't think he does. Because Zacharias is judged by God, isn't he? He will not be able to speak until the birth of John. So John responds, so Zacharias responds differently to Mary. You know, our culture encourages us to be open-minded about many things, open-minded about identity and marriage and gender and so many things, and it encourages us through the media and so many other ways to be open-minded. But is it open-minded about the message of the gospel, the message of Christmas, the message of a virgin birth, the message of Christ coming into the world? Sadly, I don't think it is. So you may have questions in your mind. Are they questions which are showing that you're open to the answers that the Bible has, like Mary? Or questions like Zacharias, questions that you're almost putting up as a barrier in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ? What kind of questions do you have? Is that a mind that's open to the truth or a mind that's closed to the truth? A mind like Zacharias or a mind like Mary? She responded thoughtfully. So this morning, if you're a child brought up in a Christian home, please don't be hesitating by asking your parents questions about the Christmas story. Don't hesitate to ask your parents about some of these things. How can this be? What does this mean? How did Jesus come into the world? Was Jesus alive before he was born? How does that work? Please ask questions of your parents or your Sunday school teacher. Ask questions where you want to know more. Or if you're new to Christianity, maybe you're from another religion or faith or background and you don't really know, please ask questions. Ask questions in a way that's open to the truth, wanting to know more. She responded thoughtfully. Or maybe if you have questions and you're putting them up as barriers, you're asking questions that and you don't really want to know the answers. Maybe you're using questions as a way to hide from the truth or hide away from the Lord Jesus or shut out the light. Please don't do that. Please open your mind and your heart to the Lord Jesus and the message of Christmas. Mary wanted more information. She wanted to know clarity. She wanted to put the pieces together. Please be open-minded to the message of the angel. Secondly, she responded wholeheartedly. The second word for the younger ones is here. So like, how can this be? Secondly, here. Here I am. Here I am, verse 38. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. She responded wholeheartedly, or here. Here I am. So Mary asked for more information. "How can this be?" verse 34, "since I do not know a man." And the angel answered and said to her, "Here's more depth, here's more understanding, here's the answers coming to Mary's questions, this thoughtful response that she had. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. And indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." So here we have this statement of Mary, this second statement, "Here I am." She responded wholeheartedly to the angel, to God through the angel, in this message that she received from him. She didn't say, "It's all clear now. Oh, I totally understand everything that you're saying to me here." The only words that she says are, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Behold, here I am." She may not have understood everything. This is the first time this incredibly rich and deep and life-changing message had come to her. What she says is, "Well, here I am, Lord." She surrenders to him. She wholeheartedly yields her life and everything that she has to him. We don't read that the angel is coercing Mary in any way, that she doesn't respond in a way in which she's forced to. Mary's response is not that. She's not saying this through gritted teeth. She's not saying this with a gun to her head, is she? She's saying this in humility and with reverence and with submission and with desire. And we see something of her spirit here. And her response is whole. And it's grounded in that message of the angel, that message of Christmas. It's grounded in God's word towards her. And she deserves our attention here, doesn't she, in this. And she surrendered her will to God. Look at Mary herself. She's probably around 15 years old. Probably around 15. We can't be sure. We can't be exact. Mid-teens, maybe a bit more, late teens. But she is incredibly young. She's at the bottom of the social ladder. And And her saying, "Here I am," is going to take her even lower. Even lower in the eyes of those that she lives amongst, and in particular amongst her family. She knew that in a traditional society, to bear an illegitimate child was a huge shame on the family. So a huge shame and honour culture. The biblical culture. The shame. And those around her, the family would see the change in her body, the change in the biology. They would know that she's engaged to Joseph, and they would look at Joseph. They would look at her, they would look at the fact that she's not married, and they would make comments on her character. When she says, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, here I am, Lord," she did it knowing that all of this was to come. Maybe like any old teenager, she looked to Joseph. She thought of the future. She thought of the house they would have. She thought of the children they would have. She thought of the happy times that there would be in the future as they planned their wedding, as they planned out the future. And yet when she says here, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord," that plan for her future is in tatters. It's torn to pieces. Think of the darkness she embraced when she said, "I am the Lord's servant. Behold, here I am." Because one day that she would see the son that she had, who would do miracles, who would serve and love people, she would see him taken and nailed to a cross. She would see the agony of her son dying, bleeding. She would see him rejected and despised by men, tortured and put to a cruel death on the cross. And she says, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord." She surrenders her life to the will of God. Mary, did you know? Did she know what would happen? Did she understand what would happen to that son? Could she look beyond it all? Could she see a purpose in it all? We have here a picture, don't we, of Mary. A picture of what it's like to become a Christian. Because becoming a Christian is putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and in what he came to do, in his birth, in his life, and in his death on the cross to take away our sins. Becoming a Christian is giving your heart and everything up, giving your life, the ownership of your life, signing it over to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Laying hold on him in faith and believing, asking him to wash you clean from your sins. His name is Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And a Christian is somebody who's given themselves. They said, "Behold, here I am. Save me from my sins. Lord, make me your own. Lord, lead me in the paths of righteousness." Jesus is Savior, but Jesus is also Lord for the Christian. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. The Christian salvation, the message, is the giving up of ourselves and trusting in Jesus Christ. And he is now mine and I am his. We say, "Here I am, behold, I am the servant of the Lord." So is your soul in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is your life in his hands? Are you trusting him for your salvation? This is what he came to do. This is why he came. This is why he was born of a virgin. That's why God went to all the trouble of what he did. Because it's the only way in which we can be saved. And maybe you are a Christian this morning. This is an amazing statement, isn't it, of Mary? An amazing statement. What a thing to aspire to. What a challenge her life brings. It's not always the older, mature Christian who can be a challenge. Here's a challenge for a teenage girl. We see her reverence, her faith, her submission to God's will. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? A beautiful picture of a yielded spirit to the purposes of God, of the giving of her whole life and yielding to Him. He puts Him in charge of her life. And what a picture we have here of the truth that those who humble themselves will be exalted. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. And Mary humbles herself here before God. One day, she will be known through most of the world like she is today. And this son that was born, he would humble himself to the point of death, even the death of a cross. And he's even more widely known as the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. So as a believer today, are we humbling ourselves? Are we surrendered our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ today? We may have done it when we professed faith and trusted Christ 15, 20 years ago. But have we yielded to Him today? Surrendering to Him today, are we holding anything back from Him in our lives? When you become a Christian, it's like your life is a house. And you open the front door and you allow the Lord Jesus, you ask the Lord Jesus to come in to your house and into your life, and there he is in the hallway of your life. And yet off the hallway there are a number of rooms. There's the room of your work life, my work life. There is the room of our home life. There is the room of our married life, if you're married, or the room of whatever aspect of your life. Our lives are like different rooms or compartments. Well, for Mary, she opened the door to Jesus and every room was open. The whole thing was open. Every door. Nothing was closed. Nothing was locked. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. And for you and me, fellow Christian, are there any rooms that are closed to Him today? Are there any rooms of our lives that are shut to Him today? Where His word isn't reigning, where He's not sitting as Saviour and Lord over. Mary responded wholeheartedly. The whole, every room. And may God help us to open all of our rooms to Him, to be consecrated to Him. So secondly, she responded in that way. She responded wholeheartedly. Thirdly, she responded joyfully. She responded joyfully. So the third word, the third H is here. Hear the greatness of the Lord. Hear the greatness of the Lord, verse 46. And Mary said, my song, my soul magnifies the Lord. She responded joyfully. Hear the greatness of the Lord. And she's bubbling over with thanksgiving and praise to God. She's bubbling over with rejoicing in God. My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Saviour. Did Jesus have a Saviour? No. Did Mary have a Saviour? Yes. Mary had a Saviour. What is that? Can somebody who is not a sinner have a Saviour? No. Mary needed a Saviour. Mary was not sinless. She's an amazing example of faith and surrender to God, but she wasn't sinless. She needed a Saviour. That Saviour was the Son that she was having, this Jesus, who she was bringing into the world. And here she is. She's with Elizabeth. Elizabeth has told her that you will be the mother of my Lord. And the pieces of the puzzle begin to fall into place, and Mary has this deeper assurance of what God is doing for her. And she hears this and she bursts into praise. My soul magnifies, my soul declares the greatness of the Lord. Her whole life is enveloped by praise. She's overwhelmed. Mary knew the Bible. Mary knew the Old Testament really, really well. This section of scripture has been historically known in the church as the Magnificat. Magnificat is the Latin term. And it's incredibly rich in Old Testament words from the Psalms and from the prophets and many different places. And she would have been taught at home the Word of God. And now by the Holy Spirit it's ignited within her. She responds joyfully, hearing about the greatness of the Lord and of the God, her Saviour. And the prophets, verse 50 to verse 55, it says, this is mercy on those who fear him from generation to generation. And he goes on, and she goes on, and verse 454, he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary's looking down the corridors of time and seeing God's promises being fulfilled to her in her life right now. She sees that they're being fulfilled in her life, personally, individually. And she's overwhelmed by what she sees and what she hears. That God is going to save the world, as he promised to Abraham, through me. There's a personal aspect to this. Verse 49, for he who is mighty has done great things for me. She responded joyfully to this message. She is captivated by it. And that's what Christianity is all about. That's what the Christian faith is all about in the gospel. And the message of Christmas. Is it just about going to church? Is it just about believing a creed? Is it just about having a certain belief that we have in our lives, or a certain habit to how we live? If that's all it is, then where's the wonder? Where's the astonishment? Where's the joyful response? Mary said, my soul declares the greatness of the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Saviour. You see, the astonishment is in what God is doing. It's not what she's doing. What is Mary doing here? Mary isn't doing anything apart from praising and worshipping God. And the Christian message, the message of Christmas, is all about what God has done. It is God who spoke to Mary through the angel. It is God, the Holy Spirit, who would come inside Mary to bring the baby. It is God that sent the Christ to die on the cross. It's all about God and his glory and his love and his grace and his mercy. It's all about God's purpose. It's all about God working in the lives of individual people, laying his finger on them, this power that is outside of ourselves, awakening us to this sense and the wonder of what God is doing. She responded joyfully. She's conscious that she isn't anything special. She's so far down the social ladder. And yet God has chosen to speak to her, to choose her. And she is overwhelmed with thanks and praise at this gift that God has given this baby, this Jesus, this King, this world-changing Messiah and Saviour. At this Christmas time, we should be those who wonder, those who worship, those who rejoice that God has sent his Son into the world. We can focus so much in our own lives, and sometimes it's right. We thought about Mary and how we should be yielded to God. But behind and beyond it all, and before it all, is the fact that God is a God of love, that he's a God of grace, that he's a God who sends salvation in the name through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that I can be saved from my sins, even me. In my smallness and flawedness, in my weakness, that God will accept anybody. No matter how long we've turned from him, no matter how long we've put the questions in the way, we've hidden from the claims of Christ and the claims of Christmas, and we throw these things back at him, and yet his arms are still open to forgive every single one of us if we would turn to him and trust in him. That's what brings the wonder. That's what brings the rejoicing. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Saviour. To know that you're saved is an amazing thing. Some people know exactly when they came to faith in Christ. For me, it was perhaps more of a process. But it culminated in December 1992, and I remember sitting on the sofa at my parents' house when I was I 16, 17? I remember listening to a message on a Sony Walkman. Some of you kids won't know what one of those is. And it was from a preacher called Al Martin, and it was about the Thessalonians. So Paul was writing to them and saying how you turn, he was writing to the church and saying, you've turned from your idols to serve the living God. And as I heard that message, I knew that I hadn't turned from my idols. I had not really said what Mary had said. Here I am. And I remember going up to Alistair Woods, and I remember casting my soul on Jesus Christ again for salvation, trusting him, calling out to him, asking him to forgive my sins, to cleanse me, and to make me his own, saying, Lord, here I am. I came into tremendous assurance the few weeks after that. It was amazing, the best that joy and rejoicing that I'd ever known. Mary responded joyfully. If you're a Christian this morning, why would we not respond joyfully to what God has done, God my Saviour? This God who has worked his grace in me. How did he choose me? Why did he save me? How could he save me? That wonder, God's saving power and grace. Does a Christian message then cause you to wonder? Calls me to wonder. Maybe you still have questions. Please read the Gospels, read the Bible, look for the answers, speak to others, try and understand what God has done. Approach the Christmas message with an open mind. This is God who is working. If the Bible is a movie, and God is a director, he's there orchestrating, moving things forward. He wrote the script, it's his. And Jesus Christ is at the centre of it all. It's all about him. He is the substance of the message to Mary that we thought of this morning. You know, the prophets foretold in wonder. The angels wondered. Mary wondered. The shepherds wondered. Do you wonder? Do you wonder at this message? Mary responded thoughtfully. Thoughtfully. She responded wholeheartedly. Are our hearts yielded to him this morning? She responded joyfully. She declared the greatness of the God who had promised to work in her, in God her Saviour. How will you respond to the message of Christmas? The message of the angels. Let's pray. Oh, we thank you, Lord, that we have written down here the message of the angels. We have the message from you of this Jesus who would come, this Saviour who will be born, this one who would one day grow up and live and serve and love and yet be betrayed and crucified for our sins. We praise you for the message of Christmas. Oh Lord, we pray that you give to us responding hearts like Mary's, thoughtfully, wholeheartedly, and joyfully. Oh, we pray this all in the name of the Lord Jesus and for his name's sake.